Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome back to Your Partner in Success Radio. This is where top performers share their secrets to help you achieve your personal and your professional goals. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and together with my amazing guests, we bring you inspiring and actionable insights to take your life and your business to the next level. Ranked in the top 2% globally, this podcast is a must listen. And again, it's because of my amazing guests. So whether you're tuning in for entrepreneurial tips, career advice, or personal development strategies, get ready to turn inspiration into action, challenges into triumphs, and dreams into reality. In this episode, I am really excited. I almost can't talk. I'm so excited to welcome back to the show Audra Carpenter. And this is where we continue our conversation on AI, artificial intelligence. The landscape of businesses and ever evolving technology, breakthroughs in AI and predictive analytics, the emergence of innovative competitors, shifts in industry structures, and evolving consumer purchasing and selling patterns change is the only constant. We have a lot to talk about. And very quickly, let me reintroduce you to Audra. So not only is she the driving force behind her successful agency, but she's also a prolific podcaster, hosting both Unlocked by AI and The Mess in the Middle. Welcome back to Your Partner in Success Radio, Audra, and thank you for coming back on such short notice to continue our conversation.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I mean, this is such a exciting time to be alive. It is just, you know, if anybody takes away anything from this revolution that we're going through globally, is what a time, right? The things that we can do, the future of what is going to be possible that we didn't have access to 18 months ago is just mind-blowing. And I'm so excited to be a part of it and, you know, to be watching this unfold in real time.
And you are so generous with what you know about AI. I remember talking with you on Facebook not so long ago, and I had a question, and you wrote a script for me. It was beautiful.
Good.
And it worked.
Oh, good. Well, that's even better.
Well, I knew it would, but I was like, I had no idea that it, something that was really had me sitting back in my chair going, well, crud. And you just fixed it instantly for me. I was like, that works.
And that's the way it's supposed to be, right?
Exactly. And I was interested in AI anyway. I mean, I'm a web developer. I have a digital marketing agency. I cannot ignore it. None of us should. But I didn't really know where to start, where to go. And we talked about this a bit last Friday when you were on the show. I didn't know who to listen to because all of a sudden, here come all these experts. I'm like, really? Come on now. So you have to be careful who you're listening
to.
You
do. Yeah, you absolutely do. If I was to say, you know, just to kind of add on to the conversation of where you were going with that, if you're new to AI, or not necessarily new, because unless you've been just completely offline, you've heard quite a bit about it, but it can be a bit overwhelming. There are so many options. There are so many tools popping up, and it's one of those, where do I start? And it's so overwhelming. If you go to a website called Product Hunt, H-U-N-T, that's where all the new products come, the new software as a service. All the different kinds of tools go there to launch. And it's a great place to get a look at what's coming, what's available, but it can be also overwhelming. So take a simple tool like a writing tool. Oh goodness, there's thousands of options. And we're typically trying to run a business or be a part of growing a business. We don't have the time to sit there and work through, okay, will this work and will that work? Not only are you trying to learn the technology, but then you're trying to get to a result that we're not always sure what it is yet because we're using AI. So when it comes to stuff like that, I would just say start with the basics, right? It's not about going out and finding tools that can create new things in your business. It's about looking at your business where it currently is and say, okay, these are the 10 things that I do every day, every week. I still have to do them, but can I use AI to do them quicker, cheaper, faster? Or I said quicker. Is there some kind of process that I can use this tool to get me better results? But, you know, to go out and look at AI of, oh my gosh, look at all the shiny things I can do right now is kind of just a waste of time. For me, at least it is, right? So I would say focus first. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I agree with you. I've had the same. I've had the same experience. It's like, oh, let me go look at this. Let me go that. And then somebody will pop up and say, oh, go look at Claude. Go look at, yeah. I'll look at it, but I'm not going to dive into it because right now I'm doing exactly what you just said. I'm diving into my daily work. How do I make it easier? How do I make it more productive? How do I gain back some time? And then I'll take some time to go, oh, okay, well, that's great. Now I can go learn something else.
Perfect. And that's the way it should be. When it first came out, yes, we were all chasing lots of shiny objects, but we're past that. More tools are going to come, more ideas, more processes, cooler, quicker, better, faster, you know, all that's going to happen. But we're at that place now where we need to see implementation and we need to see results. And if you're not really focused on, I'm using AI for better implementation and to get better results, stop using it right now. That just means you're not ready to do it. Because, you know, when you go back to the basics, your job as business owner or supporting a business is to get that company results, to generate sales, to generate leads, to, you know, from a marketing perspective, it's campaigns and emails and social media. So when you look at AI, it really should be, okay, where's some time I could save? Or, you know, we're not getting great click-throughs. So let's analyze our email marketing strategy and maybe AI can help us get better results. Or our list isn't growing, or we've got a list, but they're not engaged.
No problem.
So there are
turn mine off just right when I heard you. Whoops.
Yeah, I didn't
mine either.
I apologize for that. My FaceTime thing tried to come through. But what we should be looking at is, you know, what is it that we're already doing and how does AI support that? Now there will come a time where we can say, okay, we've nailed all the basics. We're getting more consistency with our messaging. We're getting blog content out regularly. Our social media is growing. Our email list is growing. So we've taken AI and we've applied it as far as we can. And we're seeing time saved and we're getting better results. Then it's time to explore, okay, now let's get into what could even be sexier. And that will be when GPTs and agents and this more advanced stuff that's not quite here yet. I mean, it's here, but it's kind of Frankenstein together. Don't spend any time on it yet. Wait till somebody kind of works out the retail model of what an agent looks like and then dive in. So what I would say is look at what we currently have available and then optimize your business with the resources that are there.
Exactly. And you said something really important, and that's about messaging. I watch a lot of people. I lurk. I admit it. I lurk around in groups and, you know, some people that I've followed for a long time. And there's a few of them that I've noticed that their messaging is quite different than it has been in the past. I'm thinking, mm-hmm. You just went down the AI rabbit hole. That doesn't even sound like you. You're making it lazy. Do you see?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I've been using AI so much that I can actually start to read something and it's got patterns, right? Just like anybody else, just like any other tool. And you can typically tell within like the first 5 words or first 10 words. It's like, oh, guys, come on. You could have edited at least the first sentence. So you're right. Don't look at this like a replacement of you. It's not. It's an assistant. It's still up to you, business owner, supporter, to make the company sound genuine. We're just trying to do it faster. So if a blog post took, you know, a really good detailed 3,000 word blog post took you, say, 8 hours from start to finish, from idea to mapping it out, to writing it, editing, adding images, adding backlinks. I mean, there's a lot that goes into a blog post. If you can go from 8 hours to say 3 hours or 2 hours, because the research is done faster using AI, the outline is put together faster with AI, and now you can even get it to write that first draft, and then your writer, your really high quality person, can go in and edit that quickly to make sure that it stays consistent with your voice and your brand. That's the way we should be positioning this, not, I want you to write an article about how to create pizza and then copy paste and be done with it. That's not the purpose of this. And you can, but it's not going to get anywhere. It's nobody's going to see it, and Google's not going to index it. So it's really not worth the time.
And let's talk about that, what Google's doing about AI. Because understand that you know, Google is penalizing. They're saying, no, stop it.
So what I've read on it is Google's not penalizing for AI content. They're penalizing for the scenario that I just gave, where it's write a blog post about this, copy paste, meaning the lazy people that are not editing it, that are just trying to put a ton of content out there on autopilot. Google is penalizing for that. What they're saying is, we don't want to see this. It's garbage. There's absolutely no value for us to take the time to index this stuff, because it's not a quality product for anybody that's searching for information about that topic. And it 100% makes sense. I mean, why would you want to waste your time? Some of these blog posts are just garbage. And you know, that does more damage than good. Yes, you think you're producing a bunch of content, but me, if I'm your visitor, your reader, and I go there and I see this subpar copy paste content that's not on brand, that sounds like a robot, that has no personality, that's not structured properly, chances of me coming back to your blog are pretty slim.
And you have to be consistent. Listen, correct. I write differently than I speak, and I know that. So when I'm writing something, I have to be careful not to sound too snotty. Because I have big words.
Yeah, do you?
And I have to tone it down. I really do, because, you know, the thing is, you know this, I know this. We, and you mentioned it in the green room, you know, we have the attention span of a gnat as humans. We really do. And if you can't get your point across quickly, I say keep it Homer Simpson stupid half the time. Just, you know, get it out there. Sixth grade language, people can read it. You have something pithy to say, make it pithy, but make it easy and quick to read. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. It really is. You don't have much time to grab somebody's attention.
Right. I was struggling a little bit here and there to get consistent content. So occasionally I would get a good thread going with ChatGPT, say, and just on fire, my voice, the right message, the right audience, just enough connection and persuasiveness and all that kind of good stuff. And then I would go back to continue and it completely lost it. And I get it. It's a large language model that is providing responses based on patterns and processes. And it's really not thinking through my request like we would think, like a human does. So I actually last week sat down and I created what I call, it's an AI writing style guidelines. And what it does is it's essentially a template, and I go through different sections. This is who I am. This is what I sound like. This is how I write content. This is my my stuff around punctuations, vocabulary. I want you to write at a fourth grade level. So I do, because I write on marketing and sales and stuff like that, I've really got to break it down into simple stuff. And it, you know this as well as I do. In our industry, we have so much jargon. So it's really being able to tell the AI, keep it simple. Don't use jargon. I want to talk about burstiness. I want to talk about perplexity, or I want to talk about all the different elements in my writing style. So I created this style guide and I actually put it up. So I went to Claude and I said, very vague, and I did it intentionally, but I said, write me an article. I think it was on AI automations for small businesses and why it could be of value to them. That was it. I gave them my audience. I gave them the topic, but I didn't really give them a lot of context outside of that. I said, and let's start with an outline. So anytime I write with AI, I start with a framework before I actually go into writing content. So it gives me an outline. Reading through the outline, it was beautiful. Very structured, very direct. You know, what is it? Why do you do it? The benefits of it, the challenges of it. Structured very well, very properly. Doesn't sound anything like me. I would never talk like that.
I was like, I've done that. I've done exactly that. And I'm thinking, but where did Denise go?
Absolutely.
Anything
because
like-
again, you're right. It's recognizing patterns. It's not recognizing us. So then I said, okay. And then I uploaded my guidelines. Uh-huh. And I said, now rewrite the outline. And I was like, oh my gosh, what a difference. And it sounded exactly like me. I was like, perfect. I finally have figured this out. So now I can take those guidelines and create a GPT. Right. So it's all built into my GPT. And then everything that I do, from social media to blog content to website to whatever, it's going to stay in that tone and style. Or and I can take it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now, when you say create a GPT, tell us what that looks like, but finish your thought first.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, now I've got a working PDF document, or, you know, a Google Sheet or a Google Doc that I can take and use on any platform. So I can give Gemini access to it. I can upload it to Claude if I want a different take or a different style or a different tone, based on their writing style, but still following my framework. And it's great. What could I say? One, it gets closer to me. Two, it just cut my editing down probably by 3/4, because now it's really in line with me and I just have to do a little bit of polishing. So it is definitely worth taking the time to sit down and say, okay, who am I? What do I sound like? And how you get to that place. I actually taught a class on this morning in my AI lead gen group. Somebody said, well, Audra, I'm not really publishing. What do I share for it to understand what my tone of voice is? And I was like, wow, I hadn't thought about that yet. So what I suggested was take some of their emails that they've written, even if it's been to friends or potential clients or some kind of correspondence. If you've been on a podcast, grab that for yourself. If you've, and then if you can't find anything, say you're really new to the space, find say 2 or 3 people that have published content that you really resonate with, that you say, look, I'm congruent. And if I was writing stuff, I would want to sound like this. This is congruent for me, and upload those and get a prompt from them, so you can create your style guide.
And I'm glad we're talking about this, because one of the biggest things that I see online or you know, through emails that come to me, Denise, how do I sound like me? And I'm no AI expert. At some point, I'll get to the point where I'm competent with it, mm-hmm. but I'm not an expert, and I'll just freely admit that. And that's why you're here. But you know, that's the biggest thing I'm seeing. It's like, how do I write this? How do I get chat or Claude to speak in my voice, it's a problem. It's a big, big, big question.
Definitely. So even step before creating your style guidelines, take a couple of your blog posts, take a couple of your social media posts or your emails you've sent and upload them to your chat of choice and ask it for feedback. Can you write a prompt and tell me what I sound like? What is my writing style? And let it create something for you. And then you test that. So it'll give you a prompt back. And then you'll take that and say, okay, so now let's write an article and we're going to start with an outline. Create it now in this new tone that you think I'm at. And then start, you know, this is a constantly revising. You guys, we're so far from this thing being perfect. So it's okay. It's not perfect for any of us, no matter how much experience we have.
I just had a thought, and you just inadvertently answered, I think, a question that has been popping up. But on Facebook, all of a sudden, I'll see people say, okay, this I'm blah, blah, blah. When you think of me, what do you think my business is? And I'm thinking, they're trying to write now. I'm thinking they're trying to write their own voice in ChatGPT because they don't know.
Listen, they may.
It makes sense, doesn't it? Because I'm thinking, why are you doing this? I mean, it's clear. It's in your out. It's you look at Facebook. It's right there. This is who I am. This is what I do. But maybe they're trying to do something with chat.
It could be. Yeah, it definitely could be. But remember. So I did a few different tests. I uploaded a blog post that I wrote and it gave me a prompt back on what it thought my tone and style and all that kind of good stuff was. Then I uploaded a different one and it gave me a completely different one. Now it was still in the same family, but it was a little bit different. So I actually loaded three different ones to get three different outcomes to see where the overlap was. And then what I did was I took those three and then I combined them into one and got one solid prompt. We do write a little bit differently depending on, even though we're talking about the same thing and maybe serving the same audience, I may talk a little bit differently when I'm talking about reading your analytics from email than I would talk about creating a social media campaign. I mean, so there, you know, there's different shades or different layers of our personas on how we show up online, but there are commonalities to each one of them. And that's really where you're trying to get to.
I'm afraid so. It started.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah. I am so sorry. It started storming and my dog just lost her tiny little mind.
Oh,
I had to
mute yourself. I got you. No problem. No problem. But to go back to just to kind of wrap this tone thing in a little bow, start with the basics. Like I said, share content that you've produced before and get some feedback. Do I sound authoritative? Am I conversational? Am I engaging? Is it, you know, professional? What is your tone? And then it gets easier to write your guidelines once you understand what that foundation looks like. Now, mind you, mine's still not perfect. None of these are going to be perfect. We're still dealing with the same data, the same machines behind it. But like I said, the goal is not for it to replace me. It's to help me do my tasks easier and faster. And if I get to that, I'm good because the hours that I'm going to gain back from getting all this prep foundation stuff done by using AI is going to allow me to spend those newfound hours at higher level thinking, at bigger strategies, at launching more products and services, at, you know, growing and scaling that I couldn't do before because I still had to get out those 10 emails. I still had to write those 5 blog posts. I still had to post, you know, 100 times on social media. That's really where the gain is right now.
And that brings me to my next question. So what do you think are some simple steps that businesses can take to start incorporating AI into their operations? I am going to suggest that they not turn it over to their receptionist.
No, I definitely wouldn't. Or if you do, start it with a plan, right? So you as the business owner or the person in charge of marketing, it's your responsibility to create a strategy, right? AI is just another tool. We have email clients, we have websites, we have ad accounts, we have designers, developers. You're still leading that just like you did before AI came. We just have another tool. And I think as the leader of the company, it's your responsibility to help get them going in the right direction so they're not spinning their wheels. So what I would suggest from a strategy standpoint is sit down and say, okay, guys, we're going to keep track of everything that we do for a week. How much time are you spending creating social media posts, writing content, putting email campaigns together? Is anybody even looking at the data and analyzing the output, our outbound marketing to see what's working, what's not working? How are we tracking traffic on the website? Is anybody looking at that data? And really map out where everybody's spending their time. Then once you recognize, okay, every day from 10 to 12:30, we're spending 2.5 hours doing the exact same thing. Let's look at the biggest chunks of time. And then are those tasks repeatable? Can I turn them into a framework? Can I turn them into a GPT? Can I create a prompt that will help me take that 2.5 hours a day and cut it down to 30 minutes? That's really where you got to get in the weeds and take the time to figure out how to use AI to your advantage. I mean, from a business perspective, we've been given a golden ticket. And if you, as a business owner, don't recognize the impact this can have on your business, on the bottom line of the future growth of your company, you need to wake up because this is happening regardless if you co-sign with it or not. But your competitors are doing it. So to really take advantage of this, Denise, I have worked with thousands of businesses over the last 15 years, and every single one of them, I don't care how many zeros they had behind their revenue, they don't have time. They can't get it done. They can't spend enough time being creative and at a high level thinking, because there are so many tasks and it has been manual all these years. Either you're paying somebody to do it or you're doing it, period. And we've just been given a gift that we finally can get some of the stuff off of our plate so we can really do why we got into business to begin with.
Exactly. And listen, as entrepreneurs, we all know this. If you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you're running around stomping out fires all day long, your creativity is gone.
Agreed.
I mean, it's just gone. It's hard to get it back. You need rest. You need some respite from the daily grind, which leads me to my next question, Audra. In your experience, how do businesses typically measure the success of their AI initiatives?
Well, I think right now, again, because we're still fairly at the beginning of this experience and how to implement it in our business. So I would say time. How much time is your staff? Are you gaining back by using AI? Not all the hours you spend going down rabbit holes talking to AI with all your crazy ideas, but like the actual, I'm using AI to shortcut this process or to build a SOP that's going to help us get through this stuff faster. So first I would say time, then I would say resources, meaning can I get rid of a couple other tools that I'm paying for and use, a different approach, or can using AI help us generate more revenue faster? Now that my marketing person can create sales content faster, we are able to build more leads. We are able to increase our email list. We are able to put up sales copy faster so we can sell more products. So I would say grab a hold of the same ways that we measure our business growth now. We're just now going to compare it to a different lens, which is AI.
I agree. Ethical considerations. Let's talk about those because, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. When I first jumped into AI, I was like, I can do all this kind of stuff, not realizing that the stuff I was thinking about doing, it wasn't unethical, but it wasn't smart. And it wasn't going to get me anywhere other than, oh, that looks pretty. I could put that up. That's
Oh,
not
if I could
how
only get
you
back all the hours I've
do
spent
it.
doing
You and me both. Listen, when I
that.
first started my agency long time ago, we had to, like we're doing with AI right now, how we had to cobble everything together. For starters, built my first website on a laptop, HTML. Then WordPress came along. I was like, oh, there is a God. I mean, I was so happy. It was like, that's mine. It's all mine. But we still had to cobble things together. Here's your email list. Here's this. Here's that. And it didn't really work all that well. And then, of course, people figured that, they could build tools or resources that could make all that work. And now we have Zapier on top of everything else. Everything grows up if you're patient enough, I guess, is what I'm talking about. But I've spent so much time going down my cat, poor thing. She's now mad at the weather. If you can hear her, I apologize.
No, she's great.
She's my 18-year-old. She's diabetic and she pretends that she has kitty dementia. She tried to tell me that she didn't just eat just before we got on this call, and she did. So
So she needs to eat again. Is that what she's saying?
she's starving to death. If you could just spare that, I give her. But anyway, you're right. And we run down these rabbit holes and we jump. So many of us just go, oh, this is, oh, I can do this, I can do, without really understanding, as you've said multiple times, it's a tool. It's a tool. Use it properly. Learn to use it properly.
And the more, and just to kind of wrap that, the more you do it, the better you'll get at it.
Right.
So it takes practice. It takes asking a question, coming back and saying, oh, okay, that really wasn't what I was looking for. How do I ask better questions? And we kind of hit on this the first episode we had about being curious and ask it, hey, ChatGPT, I need a sales letter written for me. This is the product I have. This is how much it costs. This is who I'm selling it to. What else do you need to know to help me do this? It will tell you, I need your offer stack. I need your problems. What challenges are you addressing? The benefits, the features. It will tell you all of that. And so allow it to also serve to guide you. It's like the smartest kid you're ever going to have. That's, I think its IQ is 160 maybe right now. It knows stuff. Ask it and then come back and reformulate your questions, and you will get so much better results.
You do. And, I've come across with chat. I'm not always sure I can go back and find everything that I wrote. So if I come across a string or I've created something I'm really in love with, I'll copy the whole thing into a document just in case it gets lost.
Good
So I can go
deal.
back and, put it in there and say, can we talk about this some more? Thank you.
Yes.
So
Good.
I don't want to lose anything. I mean, there's a lot of it. I'm like, okay, we can lose that. But some of it, now you want to hang on to it and let it think, you think about it and then let it grow and then let it speak in your voice and then you've got something.
Correct. Correct. Here's something kind of sexy. With Gemini, when you go in to say, I want to create a 30-day social media calendar. Now, all of the tools will give you tables, which is fine, but it's a little bit of a pain to get out, transfer into another document. Well, Gemini will actually create the table for you and then provide you a link to import it into Google Sheets for you.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it'll pull it into Google Docs, Google Sheets. You can ask it to do different things. So what Gemini is trying to do is compete with what Microsoft is doing with Copilot. So from a, well, I don't know, marketing strategy, business strategy, Copilot, Microsoft's whole reason why they bought into OpenAI is because they want to connect all the dots and really offer a complete solution for their customers. So Microsoft has their product of suite, right? Word, Excel, blah, blah, blah. They've got email. They have ways that you can build your website. They have ways to, they host your events. They have Teams that replaces Zoom. And now they've brought in Copilot, which connects all the dots. So I only need one universe from a business perspective to where everything lives. I write an email, it lives in that. I use Copilot, it creates a document, it spread, shares it to an event. Everything is intertwined into one little perfect world. And that's really where they're going with this. So how Google's trying to combat that is saying, okay, we've got Gemini now. We've already had a suite of products, you know, Gmail, all these others. Now we got to get them all talking. So the chats can come in to your document. You can, you know, how in Google Docs, we have now meetings. You can hit something, it turns it into an email. I mean, so they're on the same path of connecting everything to keep you all within one little universe.
Now that's scary. It's
There is some
fun.
ethical concerns there. Agreed.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like if they've got everything,
They've got, yeah.
what if they fail? What if something goes down? Where do I go? I don't
Right.
like to put everything in one basket. I'm just real fussy about things. Look, I spent 3 hours last night up until about 1 o'clock in the morning changing every single password I have.
Did you?
Yeah, I
Wow.
did. That took some doing, and they're all different.
Yeah,
So
yes, for sure.
that took some doing. And at the end of it, I was like, whew, oh, shoot, I forgot one. Back to
Oh,
the
goodness.
drawing board. But I just don't want everything in one basket. But, and that reminds me, I wanted to talk to you too. And it's completely off topic, I think. But images, where do you
Yes.
go for really great images? I have not spent much time creating images, and I'm wanting to dive into that this coming weekend.
Okay. For AI imagery.
Yeah.
Okay. Midjourney really still is the leader in this space. They do have a little bit of a learning curve. You can set up a free account, and they've got a couple of channels in Discord where, because that's the framework that they run off of, that you can go in and create some stuff and look for inspiration and get ideas and see how prompts are written. But it's very, very heavily prompt driven. Now, for me, I found it a little bit challenging, one, because I'm not a designer. So my brain doesn't even have the language or the knowledge that it would need to be able to create them, you know, 3D, photorealistic, cyberpunk, blah, 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 blah. I don't have any of that reference. So I found it a little bit more difficult for me to use it. Now, can I learn it? Absolutely. Just like anything else, right? We start in kindergarten, and that's okay. For me, though, it just wasn't important enough to master right now because I want to master the marketing side of it. So I've really spent my energy there. But from a results standpoint, Midjourney is beautiful. Some of the stuff that I've seen created through there, oh, it's just breathtaking. It's almost like I'm so used to, I'm very visual, I'm a kinesthetic learner. So looking at AI generated images and the detail and the depth that comes along with a lot of these, and then looking at free real images that somebody took on, say, Unsplash. Oh my gosh, there's such a dramatic difference. I don't think I could ever go back to stock photos.
And you know, it's interesting that you should say that because I have a lot of stock photos and they're beautiful. But then, like you, I see something that is clearly from AI and I'm like, yeah, but that's prettier. It's just, I like
It's,
that.
yeah, it's
Here we
almost like
go.
a 2D image to a 3D image, and it's just so the colors are vibrant,
They
the
are.
detail. I mean, it's very hard, especially when you're so visual, to go back to this flat, boring, bland colors. You know, the image was great. I mean, and it's a real image, but yeah, it's just not as sexy as what AI could do.
I
But so
know.
you've got Midjourney, you've got Dolly. Dolly's hit or miss. Sometimes I
I
can get
yeah.
some really great stuff, other times it's garbage.
Yeah, I found the same thing. And let's talk about the ethics of AI images, because I'll see this all over Facebook. There's a couple of groups that I belong to, and one of them is a holiday group. It's about Christmas, and all of a sudden, this irritates the bejeebers out of me. Bejeebers is a techie term, by the way. You know, along with thingamabob and oh shit, that's a techie term too.
Right.
But I'll see these images that will pop up, and they're allegedly of Christmases past. And it's like, and I'm starting to get mean about it. That's AI. That's AI. And I just call them out on it. If it's going to be AI, tell people when you post it, this is my image of what happened in 1968 or 1972 or whatever. This is my memory. This didn't really happen. Be honest about it.
Well, do you feel like they're deceiving you?
I do.
You do.
Yeah.
So, but you don't
Oftentimes.
feel that way around copy?
No. Well, hang on. Let me think about that.
Okay.
But when I see these images and people, this is what bothers me, I think, is that a lot of people, oh, that's so beautiful. Oh, I remember the blah, blah. You don't remember it because that's AI.
Well, but the picture could still spark a memory for them.
It could, but it's just the way they're presented. Oftentimes, I'm like, just be frank about it. This is AI.
Yeah.
I love this is my memory, and I thought I'd share it with you. I don't know.
Sure.
I get a little ticky about things like that. If it's obviously AI, just say so.
Right. So how do I feel about that? I don't really feel one way or another. I don't think I have any feelings towards it or not. One, now, if they came right out and said, I designed this, then I might call bullshit. But if,
Another techie term.
yeah, right. But if they're just sharing something, then God bless them. Here's where I stand with it when it comes to design stuff. I am not creative. I have had to pay every designer to have anything done for the last 20 years. And no issue with that. It's just I'm very right brain, so I don't think that way. I'm very analytical and patterns and frameworks and all that kind of stuff. But that's my strength. But people that are creative, it's just amazing. Now, here's what AI has done. I now have a little bit more control of trying to be a designer. Now, is that cheating because I didn't put in my 10,000 hours? I don't necessarily think that. I think we stand on the shoulders of the people that have made the sacrifices before us. And you know what? I've worked hard to get where I'm at. Am I mad that other people can now shortcut that? Absolutely not. Because you know what? Because my hard work has made it better, and it's going to make it better for my kids and my grandkids and their kids. And we're going to continue to evolve back to the manual stuff that some of us had to do to a more automated lifestyle. And we're going to do different things. So I think it's just framing it. For me, it's just framing it as to how do I look at this as an advantage? That society is evolving and growing, definitely learning, but then how is this going to benefit generations to come?
Question.
Yeah. And if I continue trying to move forward with that process in mind, then I'm all for it. I'm happy to share my hard-earned experience with those that'll be able to do it in half the time or a third of the time, because I can shortcut it for them now.
Exactly. And that is what entrepreneurs like you, like me, like everybody that comes on this show. We are here to help other people do what we know about. If we have advice, tips, interesting, things to share, that's why we do what we do. I love AI. I mean, I love the idea of it. I do hear a lot of people saying, oh, this is going to replace business. This is going to replace my job. I'm an artist. This is now replacing my art. There's a lot of concerns about that, but if you stop and think about what you just said, that you're learning from other people, that they learn from people before them. None of us have any real original ideas. There's not an original thought among all of us, I don't think. We're working from a collective consciousness, I guess. There are ideas that are just coming. I call them God wakes. They're downloading into your brain because it's time that you heard them. It may not have been your idea, but you can sure run with it.
Sure. Well, and so think about just advertising. I mean, that's been around since what, the 1900s? So you think Dan Kennedy or Alex Hormozi can claim to be the founders here?
No,
come on,
no,
you
no.
Guys. Yeah.
I mean, they did that in cave drawings. Go into, you know, in the any, if you ever seen those, you know, cave art?
I'm yes, sure. Yes. Yeah.
That was advertising. Don't kid yourself. That was sales.
Right. Or that was their, you know, our influencers back then, right? They'd put up how many deer they caught or how many bears they fought or lions or tiger. I mean, I know those weren't there back then, but you get the point. Cave drawings were our first Instagram, right?
Exactly.
So it's not original. That. We're all evolving from each other. And when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, we're creating a service or a product. We're selling it to somebody, just like the barter system back in God knows what, 1400 or even back to Moses time frame. Where that's it. It's just a modern day barter system. I have this widget. You're looking for this widget. We're going to trade.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I have to ask you, Audrey, what inspired you to pursue your current career or your fashion? How did you get started?
You mean in marketing or the AI side?
Both, because I think you can't really separate them, can you?
No, I think I've been a marketer my whole life in one position or another. I've had jobs. This is my fifth business that I'm on. So before I opened my agency in 2009, I think I mentioned in the last session, I owned a title company and I did real estate. And I started in that even when I was young. I had my real estate license when I was 20, but kind of in and out of it. When I moved to Maryland, I got back into real estate in 2001, rode that ride, spun off in 2005, opened up my own company, and rode that until 2010. And so the pivot really was in 2008, 2009, if you're in the US, you know what we went through with the real estate market crashing. I just didn't love it. I didn't get hurt from it. You know, I was very fortunate. I was smart with my money. You know, I wasn't reckless. So I had business and then it trickled, right? A lot of banks went out of business, a lot of mortgage brokers, a lot of realtors. So business started falling off and I thought, okay, maybe this is a good time to pivot into what's next. Somebody in the real estate industry invited me to a Dan Kennedy event.
Oh.
And I was like, let me go check that out. I don't know anything about marketing online or digital marketing or any of this whole thing that was coming, the whole info product thing. Went to an event and I was like, holy moly. So I can still make this kind of money, but I can do it all online? Sign me up. And that was it. And now, mind you, a lot of the people that I was learning from back then, they were kind of the beginners of influencers or thought leaders. And I didn't have the experience. I had no background in doing business online. Mine was all direct. It was relationships and face-to-face and, you know, so-and-so referred so-and-so to me. It was all very, very organic. And so I had to learn it. So I decided I'm going to do the service side. It's a little bit safer just because I don't know what I'm doing yet. And, you know, I started with social media that evolved to web design and, you know, 15 years, there's not anything I haven't touched. There's nothing that I have not done either for myself or a client, you know, and it's just been, so it's been very interesting, but around 2017, so, you know, 8 years in, I'm a little burnt out. I'm a little like, okay, how many more people am I going to help make $10 million or $20 million? Marketing's still marketing, you guys. It doesn't matter if you're making your first dollar or if you're at 50 million. Campaign's a campaign. bigger audience, different product, but it's still the same. So I was feeling a little bit burnout on it, kind of took a step back a little bit. And today I pick and choose the clients I want to work with. Again, I've paid my dues. I can charge well for my services, but then AI came along and I'm like, wait a second. Now the whole game has changed. Now let's see what we could do with this, because it's been such a challenge for businesses to get all the work done consistently that needs to happen. And I saw AI as, this is just an opportunity that I have to be a part of. I want to lead this, because you know what? 6 months ago, that company may have not been able to make it. Now they actually have a shot at it.
I love your enthusiasm. Do you know that your voice goes up an octave when you talk about AI?
Really? Does it?
Yeah, it really does.
It's just, I don't know. It's so exciting. And if you're a small business and you're sitting home stressing out about all the stuff that you got to get done, I mean, I can't tell you how many businesses I talk to and they give me their schedule. I added content to my website. I wrote some social media posts. I handled some customer service stuff. They will fill their days with tech and behind the scenes and stuff that is not in their wheelhouse. And I'm like, but how many sales did you get? Oh, I didn't get any sales done, but man, I got a lot of work done.
Oh God, that sounds like me when I'm being stupid.
Well, now they can't hide, because somebody else can do that crap.
You can't. And you know, at the end of the day, when you sit down, and I do this every night, what did I get accomplished? Because I'll be walking around and go, oh, good girl, good Denise. And then I write it down. And go, oh, geez. A lot of it was stuff that I shouldn't be touching. Seriously.
Right.
I have people. I'm not utilizing them properly. A lot of it is just stuff that I don't want to work today. So I'll go do this. It's, you know, I'm just wasting my time deliberately. I mean, we all do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and if you think of it this way, those tasks still have to happen.
Yep.
So intellectually, we can all reason through that and make great excuses, or, you know, justify, maybe justify is a better word to doing those things. Well, hey, I got, you know, I updated my website. I posted some social media for a few days, but that stuff is not going to move the needle. That is not going to help you grow or expand or hire or anything else. And you know, otherwise you just have a really comfortable job.
And we got into our businesses. We created our businesses because we didn't want a job, but we made a job.
Right. In a lot of ways, that's where it ends up. And that's, you know, to that defense, that's totally okay, but recognize it and own it. If you say, you know, Roger, I'm good. I'm making, you know, $10,000 a month and I'm comfortable and I don't go home stressed out every day and I spend a ton of time in the weeds with tasks, but I'm okay with that. Good. Own it. But if you come back and you say, oh, I can't get it all done and I'm struggling and I don't want to do this anymore, but I keep doing the same thing every day, then I'm going to call you out, because you, like I said, you know, I can't say it enough. We've been given just an opportunity of a lifetime to be able to get stuff done that we couldn't get done before. Now, is this a magic bullet? It's not. It takes time. It's going to evolve. It has limitations. Like Denise said, there are ethical concerns. There's privacy concerns. I mean, don't think that we're naive. Don't think I'm naive thinking this is, you know, the cure to cancer. We're not there yet, but I guarantee AI is going to find it. And it's going to allow you, it's going to allow your business to really morph into something that you may have not been able to do on your own now.
I love this. And you've probably already answered this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What are some of the biggest opportunities and challenges facing your particular industry, marketing, and how do you see them evolving in the future with AI?
Well, marketing has definitely been democratized. If, you know, clients I work with today, it's very strategic stuff. 2 years ago, I could be brought in for a new web design or setting up a new sales funnel or launching new products, stuff like that. Businesses today, at least at that scale, are really saying, okay, what is the highest and best use of the staff that I have? And where do we need strategic help? Now, I still get to shine. That hasn't been taken from me. But all of the other things that can be done with AI, a less skilled human, have been taken off my plate. So depending on what level of marketing you're at, say if you were just getting started, you're going to have a tough time charging top dollar because AI can do it quicker, faster, better than you can. If you've got some seniority in the industry, our strategic ability and experience is still valuable. And I don't think that's going to change with AI. AI is never going to be able to create a strategy like I can. Even though it knows more than I do, it doesn't have the human experience that I have by working with so many different kinds of businesses. So we still have a little bit of, you know, quarter of the market on that strategy piece of it. Once agents come and things evolve a little bit further, again, they've attacked the marketing field, the design field. There's a lot of ways that it's affecting freelancers and gig workers and stuff like that. Their challenge is going to be, how do I upskill myself so I make sure I don't get wiped out with this leveling that's happening?
And you've mentioned agents a couple of times. Tell our audience what you mean by that.
An agent, we're not quite there yet. We're still in the very, very heavy development phase to be able to work out agents. But if you think about ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude, those are conversational chatbots. You ask a question, it gives you back some feedback. You ask another one, it's kind of a back and forth type thing. Then OpenAI launched GPTs, which that I can go in and I can give it a set of instructions. And I have a little bit more control over that conversation that we're going to have. Now, if you have not played with GPTs, if you're on a plus plan with OpenAI, go there and play with them. There's lots of different ones in there. And what they are is they're just a little bit more targeted, specific kind of information. So typically the GPT will focus on one thing. Maybe it's an email marketing one. Maybe it's taking your content and making it sound more human. I mean, they typically have a specific outcome that they're trying to help you achieve. And there are thousands and thousands of them that other people have built. Now, good side of that is it can get you better content. Bad side of that is you don't know what data that GPT was built on. So if the information you're looking for, you don't know the difference between what's right and what's not accurate, they may be a little bit challenging. So just play with them and work through them. Agents will come in, which is next, chatbots would be next. I know this is a lot. You guys go back and listen to this.
Take notes,
right. Chatbots are kind of like, I mean, we've had them on our websites for years. Those little dial down in the right-hand corner that pops up and you ask it a question and it kind of takes you through a generic conversation. Hi, do you need to know our address? What are your hours? Here's an FAQ to help you. Oh, you need bigger? Let me connect you to a team member. Okay, that's a regular chatbot. It's been around for years. But now we can actually take those conversations and turn them into something more. If Denise asks me this, I give her this response. If Denise asks me that, she gets this response. And we can kind of control that conversation a little bit more. Now, chatbots are still pretty complex to set up for the general public. You definitely need to have somebody that knows what they're doing, but they're available for any of us to be able to put some kind of additional process in place. Next iteration is agents. Now, agents are going to be these really cool things where they take on a persona of somebody specifically. So if you guys, follow OpenAI and the things that are Sam Altman and all those guys are talking about. Sam came out a couple months ago, maybe, and saying this is the first time in history where we will see a, don't quote me exactly, but I think this is what he was talking about, a $1 billion company with just a team of one. So how would somebody pull that off? Well, the way they're going to be able to pull that off is with agents. So when I can build an agent, I can create a task flow where I have an email marketing agent, and then I have a social media agent, and I have a web developer agent, and I have a customer service agent, and I have this, and I have that. And each one of these agents will be able to task the next agent with the things that have to happen, which allows me, I don't have to do it anymore because my agents are going to take care of these processes.
That and is that, fascinating.
That is what I'm holding out for.
And I will be following along right along with you. You have to call me when you start, you know, when you got your first agent up and running, you've got to call me.
We are definitely at the beginning stages. And you guys, I've built over 500 websites in the last 10 years. I'm not a coder. I'm not a developer, but I can get in. I can figure it out. And today, I mean, we have WordPress and themes and templates and builders and all that kind of stuff. So it's a little bit cheating, but agents will get there too. So right now it's all code and you got to be stupid smart to be able to figure out how to do this, but they're the builders, right? So they're in the weeds figuring this out. It'll forward, it'll evolve, and it'll get to us, but we're not quite there yet. So one, you guys aren't missing anything yet because agents working, functioning, connecting agents, we're not there yet. Is it coming? Absolutely. But if you're not ready for it, you're going to not be able to take advantage of it when they do get here.
Oh, I'm ready. I will be watching and reading and listening and following you around like a puppy.
I can't wait.
Listen, I don't think we're through with this conversation. We're going to have to do it again as things evolve. But tell people, we are out of time. Tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on any social media at Audra Carpenter. Or, I mean, I have websites, I have membership sites, I have anything good. So just come find me. I'm happy to help. Or if you've listened to these last two episodes and are like, what is she talking about? She talks too fast and too much. Dig in and come and talk to me. Where are your questions? What's your hesitation? Where are you stuck? Let us help you. That was the whole point of this, right? Denise is leading. Yes. So we can ramp you guys up faster. It is speed, baby, and money loves speed.
Exactly right. Listen, before I let you go reluctantly, do you have any final thoughts you want to share with the audience?
Final thoughts. No, just embrace your curiousness, your playfulness, your open mind to just see where it goes, right? We're not, do your part, right? If you're a good person and you use technology ethically, stay in your lane, just like the rest of us. But take advantage of this to grow your business.
Absolutely. Well, listen to our audience as we conclude today's episode. Your feedback means a lot to me. And if you found the show helpful, and I know you did, please support us with a quick review on iTunes. Your input is vital in my mission to inspire and empower more individuals. So don't forget to hit subscribe, leave a review, and share your Partner in Success Radio with friends and colleagues. And be sure to go find Audra Carpenter on the web and connect with her. And Audra, thank you again so much.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is too fun.
It is. And we're going to do it again.
Come on, you guys. We'll catch you up.
We will. Well, I'm learning at your feet. And as soon as I will never surpass you, but I will always share what you're up to. So thank you, everybody. Listen to this one. Listen to the last one. Take notes. And connect with Audra. Everybody have a terrific day.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.